Sadly, people end their own lives every day. In fact, the U.S. suicide rate increased more than 25% since 1999, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. This is Lisa Berry, and the tragedy of taking one's own life is on many people's minds, especially this week, as two prominent personalities, fashion designer Kate Spade and celebrity chef Anthony Bourdain, committed suicide. That prompted me to reach out to Ann Arbor psychologist Dr. Robert Pasek, who also is a lecturer at the University of Michigan, to see if he could provide some insight and possibly support for those of us shocked and saddened by what happened. So, hello, Dr. Pasek. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Lisa.
As a Harvard-educated psychologist, can you help us process what's happening?
Well, I think, first of all, it's important to recognize that what makes people happy and what makes people sad and what makes people suicidal are three different things, and that people who are suicidal most often are suffering from some form of anxiety and or depression. And their pursuit of happiness in terms of external world for Anthony and for Kate Spade is a way to kind of manage that, but it doesn't solve the problem of their deep depression. And I think a lot of us in society don't recognize that even achieving wealth and fame and fortune isn't going to necessarily impact that suicidal tendency and that depression enough to prevent that. So we're always shocked by these things happening. And, you know, even those folks, I read about Kate Spade, it sounds like she was treated and was medicated, but sometimes those things are very, very difficult to stop once one gets suicide in one's mind. So I think that's a big factor.
How do we as individuals, I mean, I haven't met Kate Spade, I certainly was a fan of her products, or Anthony Bourdain, but you feel like you know them because they're out there in the public. How do we process the grief that we're probably feeling as well, even though we didn't even know them personally?
Well, I think that we are sad because we identify with these people. I know I was a big Anthony Bourdain fan, and you know, he's kind of a hero for me. It was a great shock to read this, although in reading his books, he described himself as a person who was going to flame out. He said he was surprised he lived past 30. So I knew that about him, and he probably may have suffered from what we call bipolar depression and bipolar disorder, and he lived life fast and almost manically, and then he also lived life probably in segments of depression. So I think the way to process this is just like any other loss. It's really sad for us. The difference is we can't do much about it. We can't reach out to them and say, sorry about this, much like when a public figure dies in an accident, like we have so many people who are killed, and we can't do anything about it. Like Princess Diana years ago, a great outpouring of sadness publicly. But what do we do about Kate Spade, Dancer, Dean Bourdain? There's not much we could do except maybe post on Facebook and say we're sad. But I think it's a reminder to reach out to people that we know in our own lives that may be suffering from some of these disorders. One of the things I also wanted to say, Lisa, is that often these disorders are masked by drug addiction or alcoholism. And that we blame people because they're drinking or taking drugs, but in fact, they may be trying to cover for their deep depression by using things that are available non-prescription. You know, if you're going to go on prescription medication, it's very expensive. A lot of people can't afford hundreds of dollars a month for some of the SSRIs that are there to treat depression. So, I think that people then go to either opioids. I think opioid deaths, I read today, they were like 1.5% of our deaths in the country are opioid deaths, and a high percentage of those are probably suicide because people are just at their wit's end about how to cope with their drug addiction and their depression.
We're talking to Dr. Robert Pasek. He's an Ann Arbor psychologist, lecturer at the University of Michigan. Has the stigma of mental health problems changed much in recent years? Is it more acceptable to share that maybe you're not feeling so great?
I think it is. It has changed, and people like Dr. Phil and Oprah and, many of the on-air psychologists and people being open about their own depression has made people realize that this affects everybody. It's not something to be ashamed of, but it's something to admit and to recognize. And as a matter of fact, an act of bravery to come out and say, yeah, I'm dealing with this and I'm not afraid to talk about it. So I think it has changed. But that being said, it was so stigmatic, particularly for men, that it still remains really difficult. Men don't want to admit vulnerability or weakness, and I think they see signs of any kind of illness as a sign of weakness. So men don't go to the doctor, but particularly mental illness is viewed as a real failure and a sign of weakness. And I think men are ashamed to admit that they have the problem. And if you don't admit it, you can't talk to people about it. You can't, even if you're secretly getting treatment, you can't get your social network of support that you need to cope with this.
What about treatment? Is it easy to get? Is it out there? Is the help and support we need readily available?
Unfortunately not. It's very difficult to get into the system and to get the needs met. I think Washtenaw County is a little bit better than the rest of the country because we do have a good county mental health system, and we have a lot of free clinics such as Hope Clinic in Ipsy and others like that do provide treatment. So, but nationwide, the statistics are terrible that rather than more money going into mental health treatment, less is going in. When I started out in this field in the 1970s, a lot of people were being brought out of the institutions where they had been kept for years with depression and anxiety. But the money was supposed to follow them to provide treatment on this in community clinics, and instead the money was taken away. So a lot of the people we see on the street are also people who are suffering from anxiety and depression, and a lot of people who are in prisons. So we're way behind on this, and we're due for a reckoning. And maybe some of these celebrities' laws we could turn into recognizing that this affects everybody at all walks of life, and that people are susceptible, and it's a deadly disease. It's not something to be taken lightly at all.
That was an eye-opener for me, talking to Washtenaw County Sheriff Jerry Clayton, when he told me he believes about 50%, at least 50% of the people in the county jail are suffering from mental illness issues. I know you teach a class about self-awareness. You have a book. What's the book again?
My book is called Self-Awareness, A Guide for Success in Work and Life.
Can that help us deal with situations like this?
It does have a chapter about mental health, and I was surprised at how many of my students, these are top students at the University of Michigan in the business school, and a fair number of them were suffering from anxiety and depression. And they're under so much pressure to do well, to get high grades, to get good placements that... And they're driven kids to begin with. They wouldn't get in there unless they were driven kids. So, again, this affects them. So, you know, it's everywhere. And I think the one other piece I wanted to mention about it was the kind of copycat aspect of it that we see almost like epidemics where one person does this and then it awakens in another person the potential. We see this with the school shootings. I mean, why are there so many? Well, it's not just that there's more guns out there, although that's a big part of it, but people study Columbine. These kids that are shooting say, oh, these Columbine heroes are, these kids are my heroes, so I'm going to go do the same thing. So that copycat epidemic side of this. And so I wouldn't be surprised if in the near future we see more of these suicides among famous people, because all of a sudden they recognize, well, I could do that too. It's a way out. If my hero Anthony Bourdain could do that, I guess I could do it too. And so, it's we're kind of at a risky time right now.
So as human beings, what can we do to stop that and help each other?
Well, I think the first thing we could do is try to raise kids well. And, try to, because a lot of these kids are suffering also from PTSD because they've suffered abuse as children. Mm. And by abuse, I don't just mean that they've been burned or things like that, but just treated really harshly and punished and, treated in a really negative environment, unpredictable environment. So first of all, we could try to do better on raising our kids better and treating parenting as an important skill to learn. And secondly, I think we can recognize in ourselves that if we're having some of these problems, that we should seek out medical attention and talk to our doctors and not be afraid of medication. I mean, you'd much rather be afraid of suicide than of medication. So I think there should be a willingness to recognize that we do have ways to treat this that are very different from our past generations. And we should take advantage of them. Sure, they're difficult and difficult to get off those, but the fact of the matter is they do help quite a bit.
Dr. Robert Pasek is an Ann Arbor psychologist, a lecturer at the University of Michigan. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise and joining us here on 89.1 WEMU.
Well, thank you for this opportunity to talk to the public about it, Lisa. And you do a great job of making people aware of these issues. Thank you.